Hello, everybody. This is Tom, and across from me, as always, is Tim.
Hey, howdy.
This week we've got two albums again, of course. We have the new one from Beach House called Teen Dream, and...
we'll just call them BJM from now on, but it's Brian Jonestown Massacre with Who Killed excuse me, Hugh... Ooh. Let's start this show over again. Who Killed Sergeant Pepper?
Okay. Yeah. Of course, we have stories and everything. No really new stuff going on with us right now. We do have a promo from... Who do we have a promo from?
Of course, we got Slug, because Slug, of course... one of the first people to send us promos, so we're going to be playing Slug's promos. And then, yeah, we do have a brand new one, because we mentioned a couple weeks ago, I guess, that we are officially members of the Penny Cults, yes, podcasting network. So the newest one is actually from Movie Fan House, which are also on Penny Cult, and we'll be playing some more. Well, not this week, but as we get the promos in, so just trying to be part of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, we don't have one of our own. Well, we do have a cheap one that we did real quick just for shits and giggles, yeah, for Slug. But unfortunately, that has our old, well, currently it's current information, but since we're going to be moving to our new website, that's going to have to change pretty soon. But as of right now, until we actually do the real change, we'll do a real promo when that comes about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, Movie Fan House are the new ones. And awesome.
We'll do that, I guess, after Tim does the news and stuff. So, but anyhow, speaking of news, Tim, do you want to start off with your first story?
Sure. First story actually touches upon something that we did very beginning of this year, which were the... streaming music services. This one is actually from lifehacker.org, if I'm not mistaken, which is 5 best music streaming services. Of course, they mention a couple of the big ones, which Spotify, obviously been getting a lot of notice in the past year, isn't available yet in the U.S. due to legal issues, but will be hopefully fairly soon, because... their name keeps popping up, wanting to see if it's any good myself. Pandora, of course, which is one that I'm surprised we didn't do, but it's been one that it's been in our horizons. Keep in mind that the streaming services, as we mentioned when we did our little month of streaming services, this will be something that we'll keep revisiting, because there are just so many of them out there that it's hard to do... it all in just all in 1 month and still be able to talk about music, which we ultimately wanted to do. Last FM was in the list. Lala, of course, was, I think Tom and I are mutual favorites.
Oh, yeah.
When doing the actual streaming music month. I think that aside from a few little flaws, it was probably one of the better ones out there, but... like I said, Last FM, and one that I was going to mention, Groove Shark, which is something that we didn't even touch upon, and I know very little about this one myself, but again, it's on the list of ones that we'll cover and talk about eventually, and it's just a very busy month, actually 2 months for music lately, so sooner or later we'll touch back upon that, and a very good article, hopefully once... Notebook fixes itself, we'll be able to post these this information. It's giving us problems today, but yeah, what are you gonna do?
We may be moving from there as well.
Yeah. Whole new start for us.
Yeah. Speaking of moving and new starts, this comes out of Hypebot, and it's RIAA tells fans to stop nibbling. And the VP of research, Joshua P. Friedlander, in an article in his RIA blog titled "Nobody Stole the Pie," pretty much tells everybody to stop stealing the pie. Pretty much, he says the top 10 albums in 2009 sold a total of 21 million copies and topped the 10 tracks, and the top 10 tracks totaled 36 million paid downloads. But the top 10 albums in 1999 totaled 55 million in sales, and the top sellers fell by more than 50%. Pretty much saying that, you know, in the 10 years since, you know, peer-to-peer downloads and everything, they've lost quite a bit of revenue from their mainstay. And they've also, employment has fallen by 60%. In 99, it was 25,000 people, and now it's less than 10,000. And he's pretty much saying it's, you know, to look at, pretty much to look at each other and you know, take a look at how you're getting music, and, you know, and can you say it was not I who, you know, stole the pie, more or less, which is why he titled his article that. Again, we've touched on this a lot. You know, of course, Mr. Joshua here is coming from a standpoint of, you know, hey, you know, this is the way we've done it, and, you know, we shouldn't have to change because, you know, we're not in the wrong and everything. But to sort of take the devil's advocate side, you know, when things change, you just can't sit on the sideline and say, and point fingers and not do anything about it. Not saying that illegal downloading's, you know, right or whatever. It's just that, you know, I don't know. I can see his standpoint, but, you know, then again, you can see that. Tim, anything you gotta say?
No, it's all been stuff that's been touched on before, and it's just all indicative that we need a new business model, and we're slowly getting there with these online streaming services, and there's going to be big changes to come. I mean, yes, a lot of people are getting screwed. Guess what? A lot of people were getting screwed before digital downloads. This has just taken center stage. I mean, if you remember, artists, a good majority of artists weren't making tons of money from CD sales to begin with. They were being screwed over by labels long before piracy came around. Now the record labels just have someone to point at. But whatever, arguments for a different day. We've touched upon it 100 times before. Let's move on, shall we? Yeah. Well, speaking of digital downloads, how would you like to have 3.5 gigabytes downloaded via torrent for free from South by Southwest bands legitimately? Absolutely free. No, this isn't illegal at all. 646 tracks, just under 3.5 gigs. You can go ahead and download the torrents. And if you don't want to download the full torrent, usually right when you click it, usually right before it, it will say, would you like to download these? And you can unselect tracks as long as you have it set up so you can choose before it does it, unless you have it set to just download automatically. But like I said, otherwise you can download full 3.5 gigs. I think it was like something like, it doesn't say here, but it was like, I forget how many hours of music.
Where is this from?
This is, hold on, it is on, freely available on the official South by Southwest website.
Wow.
So, like I said, it is available legally and free, and it's only the first. A second torrent, I cannot talk today, is on its way. It doesn't give me an exact date, but a second torrent is on its way with 200 more free, legit tracks, including one track, which is the title track for the new BRMC, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, which is actually going to be my pick for next week. So if you want to get a jump on that, then by all means, look it up. And like I said, I mean, a bunch of just great artists,
yeah.
Some old, some new, some you might not have heard before. Give them a listen. It's all free. It's all legal.
And if you're down in Austin for South by Southwest next week, I believe it starts.
Lucky son of a bitch.
Great sort of playlist for your drive or your flight just to listen to. Is it current? Is it old bands as well, or is it stuff that's been on? It's on the new South by Southwest this week or here.
Why do you keep asking me these things? Like I research it. I'm assuming it's this year.
Okay, cool. Well, that's nice. I'm looking forward to some concert this summer. A band I like, I think I turned Tim on to, was Caribou. You've probably heard
I'm sure
of them.
I know you've talked to me about
they're
them.
They're on tour and they're going to be in Chicago. So, and then a band we talked about for our top 10 is coming around in April. So, looking forward to that as well. But speaking of which, I'll do my final story before we do the little promos and then tell you where you can find all this for the time being. Mine comes from the New York Times, and it's A Miniature World Magnifies Dwarf Life. apparently in China, there is a theme park of dwarves, and they perform in pink tutus and perform a slapstick version of Swan Lake. And oddly enough, this is all has won support by the United Way, or the United Nations World Peace Foundation. And they've talked to some of the individuals in the who work in the park, and they seem to enjoy it. What's her name? Miss Wu, doesn't say a last name, says she likes it there, and her other work sort of kept her out of public view, and here she sometimes notices spectators that tear up during her performance, and it's not because of ridicule, it's because it's funny. So it seems like generally the performers here enjoy what they're doing and don't feel like they're being exploited. And it is music. It Tim's probably wondering why I'm talking about this one with Swan Lake, but I thought it was interesting that you have dwarves and then you have China and Swan Lake, so it's a trifecta of awesomeness there, I think. So but anyhow, why don't we do some promos first before tell us all where this is from. So
let's get those out of the way.
Hey everybody, this is Slug, host of the Slugcast. On Slugcast, you can hear movie reviews for films I enjoy that you may not have heard of. Also, each week I feature a band that I feel hasn't gotten the exposure they deserve, and I play a few songs by each band, as well as a cover song that I enjoy. This is a film and music podcast that's from a fan's perspective, leaning a little towards the fanboy side. So check out Slugcast at www.slugcast.net, as well as on www.pennycult.com. Slugcast is a proud member of the Pennycult family of podcasts.
Here at Movie Fanhouse, we have all sorts of movie character guests, like Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
My name is Freeze. Remember it well, for it is the chilling sound of your doom. Is that good?
And Andy Serkis as Gollum.
I like children. I like that real Adam. It looks a bit precious!
Sean Connery as Sean Connery.
That is sure Sean Connery to you, Frenchie.
And the notorious serial killer, Michael Myers.
So check out Movie Fan House,
the podcast for fans,
by fans.
Side effects of listening to this podcast include nausea, irritability, hostility, homicidal impulses, rapid loss of mental clarity, amnesia, kidney failure, diarrhea, muscle aching, tingling, inability to walk, problems sleeping, constipation, impaired muscle formation, erectile dysfunction, and temperature regulation problems. Thank you for listening.
It's that time again when the freaks start to crawl out of the woodwork. They come together in one place for one purpose. So beware. Unless, of course, you're one of them. Horror Hound Magazine and Horror Hound Weekend. Find out more information by going to horrorhound.com or horrorhoundweekend.com. If you dare.
They're all the way.
Okay. Zim, why don't you tell us where the...
I didn't want to. I kind of have to, but... All right, you can check us out at knownothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. That is K-N-O-W, nothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. That's where we are currently located. We are moving over to knownothingmusicshow.com very soon, hopefully. Once that goes up live, we'll let you know, though. But currently, knownothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. From there, you can go ahead and check out links to stories and artists and our previous shows, well, up to about 10 episodes ago. That's one of the main reasons we're leaving, but... And also check out some of our friends there, etc., etc., etc. You can also follow Tom on the Twitters. He Twitters from time to time, correct?
Yeah,
do you still do that?
Yeah, T.R. Maher. I haven't been doing that through Blip as much lately. Maybe I'll do it this week. I don't know, I haven't done it. And we've been busy as far as new stuff with this website and jobs and everything as well. So hopefully in April and May everything sort of calms down. So, I don't think it's going to calm down as far as new albums. There's a ton of new things coming out. I just went over and did a whole listening to of new albums coming out, so I'm looking forward to this. Tim, is there any...
No.
Is there any albums you've been listening to lately? Besides the ones we've been reviewing, so...
I would have to go into my thing. You know, there's actually been a couple, just from kind of small artists that I was listening to. Hold on, let me look up. The one that I actually kind of liked a little while ago was Agent A, and I think it's pronounced Omae, O-M-A-E, album called Symphony Leaf. I think they actually have that and an EP out somewhere. I'm sure if you look them up, again, Agent A and Omae, O-M-A-E, if you check them out, I believe those are for free download off their like MySpace page. I believe that's where I got that from. There's one that it's a jazz one that I've been meaning to get to, but we did kind of like a pseudo jazz one a few weeks ago, and there's just been so many releases that I wanted to hop on. VJ Iyer, I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that somewhere near correct, the VJ Iyer Trio, the album's called Hysterosity. It came out late 2009, if I'm not mistaken. Another kind of cool, jazz fusion sort of band, so... And then once this actually finishes downloading, I'm going to be listening to the South by Southwest, of course. So,
yeah.
Oh, and I'm looking up because I can't think of the name of the album off the top of my head. There was like a single before this album came out of Brian Jonestown that, again, I'm trying to look it up here, I'm not seeing it. Whatever that was called, I'll find it in a minute. I'm looking on their discography page. I listened to that. It's like a 5-track EP. But yeah, anything.
Is it called the One EP or the Love EP?
You know what? I think it was One.
Okay, yeah, that came out. It's got 4 tracks. It came out.
Yeah, because these 2 tracks are the same. 2 and 4 are the same. Oh, no, that wasn't it. It was Just Like Kicking Jesus. That's what it was. It's an 08 EP. It was an 09. I'm sorry. I was getting myself confused. Because I was going to say that when I was listening to... I bought it on a whim. I popped it in, and I was listening to... Track 1 and track 2 are same songs, just different versions. And I was listening to it like, this sounds exactly the same. What kind of horse crap is this? And, it's Redux. Okay,
yeah,
never
yeah.
mind.
Yeah, I've been listening to a band. I saw them on a late night show. They're called Mumford & Sons.
Okay.
I think they're going to be at South by Southwest, I believe. Their album from last year called Sigh No More. It's their debut album, actually. They're out of England. And I actually have been going back and listening to old albums. I listened to the last Air album, Love 2. Of course, Bill Callahan sort of sneaks his way in there sometimes.
He's got a live one coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing how that is. That might be a pick of mine in the coming weeks. I just want to see how... I think it's a live of, you know, of course, tracks from his history as Bill Callahan. So I'd like to hear how he sounds. So when I do see him one day, I'll go, oh, it did sound like it on the album. But anyhow, why don't we start out with the Brian Jonestown Massacre?
Yeah, with Who Killed Sergeant Pepper, and as I said before, let's just refer to him as BJM from now on in. All right, first, oh God, when was I first introduced to these guys? I'm sure it had to be a while ago. Well, let me drag this back. Now we got, in BJM we have a group that goes back, what, 2 decades now? Well, at least a decade and a year here. I think first EP and first proper LP. First proper LP. Okay, 95. I was wrong. First album came out in 95. Now, what I started to get at there was, this is a group with a very storied past. It really does go quite a ways back in, I guess, in many ways. Everything from their music to the lineup has really just changed, evolved, been tossed around. Wow. In fact, speaking of their lineup, heck, if you go and just check out their wiki page with all the member lineup, wow, that's a page in itself of previous members.
The only one who seems to have stayed the whole time, is Anton, the lead singer. So,
yeah,
I wonder if it's partly him.
he's been there. I was gonna say Matt Hollywood, but he left for he left for a good chunk of the time. He was, the band itself has been around since '90, but like I said, first real album, '95. Okay, where do I want to start here? Like I said, there is a lot of ground to cover. And yeah, Anton has been kind of the man, so to speak. He's been the brain behind this brainchild. He is definitely a front man to be reckoned with. If you really want to see a pretty good doc, I've been watching a few good documentaries lately, but if you want to see a really good doc, the one, Dig! Exclamation point. Dig. Check out Dig. That is very good. It actually follows BJM as well as another one of my favorite bands. Another great group that's always been too cool for school, the Dandy Warhols. Yes. And it follows them as they kind of grew up from the same area, same place, same kind of, well, really, place in their career. Just young bands about to break, and Dandy Warhol's dead, and BGM just kind of melted and self-destructed, and really just, it was a grinding gears, I think, for BGM in this documentary. Very kind of interesting, and you really get a good look at Anton. Now, Anton, as I was saying, he's kind of he's definitely a figure. He's definitely a antagonist of sorts. He's definitely a genius sort. And I think the best way I can put it is the main difference between an asshole and a genius are the chops to prove it. And I think in that documentary, they talk about like a little mini feud and it's kind of silly, but, you know, between Dandy Warhols and BGM, as they kind of, you know, one group blew up and the other one just, again, spinning their wheels, they talk about a little bit of a feud, and as much as they wanted to say things negative about BGM, ultimately, they kept coming back to Anton's a fucking genius. I mean, he's just brilliant. He's just a great artist. No matter what you want to say about the guy, he's just a great artist. So that's kind of been the story of BGM. All right, I can just keep babbling on and on. Again, this is a group with a storied past. Let's just bring us to present day. Their album, of course, Who Killed Sgt. Pepper, really incorporates a lot more of their psychedelic rock experimental sounds. Definitely a lot more electronic than some of their earlier stuff. So they've, again, a lot of this has to do with Anton and his evolution. And you can probably also put a lot of this with, well, when you've hit a group where the lineup is revolving door, obviously flavors are going to come and go. You know, talents, your strong points, your weak points are really just going to affect how the sound really ebbs and flows. Speaking of good docs, I was watching Fearless Freaks, the Flaming Lips documentary, and that's a good example of lineups change and then a group just changes on a dime and their sound just becomes something different. So anyway, without further ado, I'll probably retouch upon a little more of this when I actually do my review, but let's at least talk about the music, shall we? Tom, at least give me your impressions on Who Killed Sgt. Pepper. How did this work for you?
I enjoyed it. There's definitely a whole mix of sounds in this. But I think at the base there is sort of a cohesiveness where they do go from that electronic sound to a guitar and drum sound in some songs. But I think the thing that keeps it glued together is, at least for me, is there's sort of a very grinding, repetitive beat in every song that keeps it, you know, the same, or keeps it, you know, in tune to the next song or the previous song. There is on some tracks it's like very, you know, sort of guitar and bass and sort of, you know, what you think of when you think of music, and then on other tracks, like I think Detka, which is just him repeating words and stuff. It's sort of just a repetitive nature. It reminds me of sort of somewhat of industrial music,
mm-hmm.
Especially I think the first track, and you know, they all have different, you know, their different aspects in all these songs, but they all, I think, at their core are just like, it's a repetitive, you know, sort of nature of all of them. I can see the shoegaze element there, you know, that they've been put in. I can see electronic stuff. Definitely, you know, we listened to Fortet, was it last week? Definitely can tell, you know, that nature as well. The only bad thing I can say about this is it runs a long time. It comes in at an hour and 11 minutes. A lot of the tracks are like 5-6 minutes long. If you don't like these, you know, if you don't like electronic or you don't like sort of the repetitive industrial type sound, that may, you know, the length of these tracks may, like, you know, seem daunting, and you may not end up listening to this, but I think for me, I liked it. It's definitely interesting to see how they've come since the last time I listened to them, which is a while ago. And like Tim said, Anton sort of, you know, reinvents himself all, you know, a lot, and probably has to do with the revolving door of talent he has to deal with. But on this, I enjoyed it. I mean, I went to Tiny Mixtapes and read their review, and it was more of a, you know, they didn't offer any, like, points as to why they didn't like it. It was just that it was too long, and, you know, they really didn't offer, like, any, you know, cons and pros and stuff like that. For me, this is something I could listen to from time to time. Definitely not an album I can listen to, you know, over and over again. It has industrial electronic music, like I said, with Fortet, is something that it's, you know, it's a time-to-time listen for me. Though there are tracks on here that the more rock and or drum and bass and stuff like that I could listen to. I think White Music, I think, is one of them. But there are tracks on here that I can enjoy. But sitting down and listening to this whole thing from tempo 116.7, which is the first track, and to the Felt-Tipped Pen Pictures of UFOs, which is the longest track on here, which is 10 minutes, is a chore. There's tracks on here that I could put on, you know, and listen to and enjoy, but as far as the album goes, I think it'd be an album I play from time to time, and, you know, pick up here and there. Not saying it's a horrible album, that it's bad, it's that I should you should pass it up. It's just a long listen, and something where you need to put a, you know, a chunk of time down to enjoy it. That's really all I have to say about that. I'm sure Tim has some more stuff to say. Tim?
Let's go fucking Mento. Let's go fucking Mento. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. I love that fight song. now, you then, well, not that they explain it, but we are wankers, so I'm completely using that incorrectly, and I know there's some hooligans that are gunning for me, but definitely one of my favorite tracks off of Who Killed Sergeant Pepper, and I think it that pretty much sums up the album. Just Let's Go Fucking Mental. That's what it is, on tape. All right, yeah, I love the psychedelic edge to this, but with definitely a modern, yeah, I guess you could say industrial edge. I think you started to touch, and I actually bit my tongue. I didn't interrupt you because I knew I blathered on, trying to collect 20 thoughts into one cohesive statement, which I failed at miserably at the very beginning of my intro. But I bit my tongue, but going back to something you said, where you mentioned something about the beat and how it does tie it all together. You're right. There's something in every track, and throughout the entire album, I guess you could say, that does tie this all to a point in space and time. So it all works, and it all remains. God, son of a. It all remains cohesive. And that is the key to this album. Because, yeah, it bounces off the walls from time to time, but it all manages to stay in one mindset, in one frame, which is actually very surprising. And it's the thing that, for me, as opposed to Tom, again, just disagreeing week to week, I don't know how we don't collaborate, I swear. That is the thing for me that actually makes it the replay album for me this week that really gets me going. I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again. It's, for me, I see a lot of what Tom was saying, but as I already said, it's something that it just works. You know, it works on paper, it works in action, and I really dig it. Now, what was I getting at here? Oh, no, because I was trying to get back to something that I said earlier about the Dig documentary. And I kind of liked the way that ended, where it was just like Anton's still making music. He's still just chugging away and working on albums, you know, despite being painted in a somewhat negative light. And I started to mention something about, you know, the the difference between a genius and just some, you know, asshole who's full of themselves is the fact that a genius can, you know, back it up with talent. Despite, you know, it doesn't make them any more palpable to listen to, unless they're singing, in this case. But at the same time, at least, unfortunately, it's justifies their beliefs and their own abilities to the point where it's hard to argue with them. And again, he keeps putting out these great albums, and he does have a good following behind him. He does have a good fan base. And look at the list. Another thing that I touched upon when we talk about groups that spawned from Brian Jonestown, we're going to be talking about next week one of the, I don't want to say one of the better, but one of my favorite, how about that? just to know it's subjective. One of my favorite groups, as I already mentioned, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. That their new album is going to be my pick for next week. Mm-hmm. He definitely has some talent in that group, and unfortunately his polarizing confrontational personality has forced people in and out of this group. And you know what? It might be all for the better, because look at all the flavors he gets. Yeah. Look at everything he's able to put together from album to album to album. So, you know, the guy goes from folk rock to shoegaze to psychedelic, experimental, all in a breath, and he's able to do it with relative ease.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what we were talking here, the thing that I think this album sort of shows is his mind and his genius at work. Like, I mean, because he's able to go from, you know, electronic to sort of ambient sounds to, mm-hmm. you know, sort of generic guitar and bass, and through each there's a layer in the back that ties it all together.
Yeah.
And he's been able to do that, I think, through his whole career. And the one thing I want to say about his genius, it's perhaps why he's been so confrontational and stuff, is I some geniuses tend to be perfectionists or know what they want, and if you can't work with that, then fuck you, you know. I'm not going to give you the time of day. Or
everything has to be on his level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I just read, I was talking about, off air, talking about reading a book of Rolling Stone interviews, some collections of interviews, and a very good one with John Lennon in there, which is an interview that he gave right around the release of Plastic Ono Band, post-Beatles breakup. And I mean, he was just ripping into Paul McCartney, and he was basically just airing dirty laundry that whole interview. And it was, you know, it was an entertaining read. It was a juicy read. And there was something that he mentioned several times, and I am paraphrasing, but only to an extent, basically saying, recognize my genius. You know, using, you know, actually proclaiming himself as a genius. And, you know, anytime someone actually comes out and says, I'm a genius, it's always a little bit, you know, you have to come with it with a little, you have to be a little bit skeptical. But, again, when you can back it up with great art and legions of followers, you know, it is hard to deny to a certain extent that, okay, this guy is aware of himself. You know, it's like the pretty girl who knows she's pretty. You know, it's like, you got me. you got me.
Yeah, it's every guy wants to date the pretty girl, one that doesn't know she's pretty.
So. Yeah, well, well, whatever. Okay, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, it is.
Megan Fox went retarded and fell for me podcast. All right, let's go ahead and let, I think we pretty much, again, we're retreading ground. Oh, I'll give my little end cap to this, which is, love this album, obviously, two thumbs up. Well, after we talk about the next album, I'll probably give my final verdict of the day, but, yeah, go ahead, Tom, hit us with our final album, Beach House.
Beach House, their new album, came out at the end of last month, but it leaked actually in November of last year. Shame on you guys that have been listening to it for a longer time.
Sorry.
But whatever. Crap happens. So Beach House, I've been aware of them since their debut back in 2004 with their self-titled release, of course, Beach House, which came out in 2006, and then Devotion, which came out in 2008, and those were both on Car Park. Now Teen Dream is their first on Sub Pop, sort of a more better known sort of indie label, sort of I think speaking to their success on their debut album and on Devotion. They both were, I believe, their first album was Pitchfork included as one of their best albums, and I believe the same for Devotion. And the band Grizzly Bears, they've collaborated with the band. Actually, it's only two members. It's Victoria Legrand and Alex Scally, or Scalay, I don't know how to say that. But Legrand is, of course, on vocals, and Scally is on guitar and keyboards, and Legrand also plays the organ. Yeah, I've heard of this band for a while, and then heard Teen Dream was coming out and was sort of excited to hear their third, you know, go-around. So I had been listening to this a little bit before I, you know, told Tim last week that, hey, we should review this. So I had a little bit more time on this, you know, listen it through time to time, but actually gave it a good sit-down this week and listened to it. So, before I let you guys know my thoughts on this, Tim, what are your thoughts on Beach Houses with Teen Dream?
Okay. Wow, another pretty good album that I've been on a roll lately. I really have. Even though I will say, just to kind of put it out there, this is, oddly enough, an album that I liked, I disliked, and I liked again. So, I don't know what that is. This is definitely going to be one, and again, I'm just putting this out there, so even though I'll give you my final verdict as of right now, but I think my true final verdict will be a month, maybe 2 months, end of this year, whether or not I like this. You know, and it's common. Sometimes you're just not into an album. Sometimes you really like something, and then it just grows old on you. I'm very curious about this because, well, okay, I'll tell you what. Let me break it down for you, what my feelings are in this album. All right, first impressions. I was definitely hearing a lot of familiar sound on this album. The best way I can possibly put it would be what they decided to do is take a lot of what is popular right now, in my opinion, with indie rock, which has a lot to do with the repopularization of early 90s synth pop and this bizarre fascination that a lot of these college radio indie rock groups have with the kind of Pet Sounds harmonies, something that everyone's doing. I think Fleet Foxes just completely ass-fucked it, in my opinion, because they decided to put that horrible echo sound effect behind everything. But who was doing it? Animal Collective, Dodos, yeah. Vampire Weekend. God, they're just so...
It's the auto-tune of the...
It's indie rock auto-tune. Yeah, you're right. That's a good way of putting it. It is indie rock auto-tune where it's this, you know, that drone harmony. And don't get me wrong. In my criticism of this lies something very redeeming, which is definitely a plus in their column. It's the fact that despite the fact that I usually hate a lot of this crap, I liked it on occasion on this album. There's a few little bits, there's a few bits and bobs where there is just way too much Casio and drum machine in the music that it kind of takes me out of it. I actually got a lot of good emotion out of this. I thought they did, well, they described it as American Dream Pop. They did a lot of Dream Pop right. There was definitely some good harmonies on this. Some good musically, this is, I think, above some of the aforementioned artists. Because, you know, if you've been listening to us, not a huge fan of the latest Animal Collective. Wasn't too hot on the last Dodo's album, as I mentioned already. Hated Fleet Foxes. So, in my opinion, they actually do this style with about 30% less. Just to pull a random number out of my ass, I guess 30% less pretentiousness. It just feels a lot more true, and I actually found myself getting a little more involved in it. Now, obviously, this is all about my personal experience with it. I think a lot of people would see through it and probably just kind of dismiss it. Others will probably be more gung-ho in this album than I am right now. Like I said, where I am right now in this album, I actually enjoy what they did. And like I said, I think they did the songwriting a lot better than those aforementioned artists, because their influences really touched and went upon a bunch of different groups that actually surprised me. For instance, what was that song? Norway, and it appeared on a couple other tracks, but especially in the song Norway, they do something with the guitars which is very reminiscent of that discordant, what's the name of that group? My Bloody Valentine. That discordant My Bloody Valentine, you know, guitar. Not to that degree, not to that wall of sound, but you know how it is, how they fake that, you know, the guitar track is very warped and sounds a little bit off. Yeah. So, and it kind of, again, is discordant. It gets you a little bit off balance. And I thought that was pretty cool. They do a lot of little things like that throughout the album. And that sold me on it. That, too, the vocals. I actually found myself really into it. Especially the Victoria Legrand. I hope I'm butchering the French name. Bits. I think she did a good job on a couple of those tracks. What else can I say about this? I don't think I really have anything that I don't think Tom's going to hit upon, because I'm really interested to see what he's going to say about this. But, like I said, this is something that I wouldn't normally be into. This is actually something I think Tom would be more down Tom's alley, based on some of his preferences. So this is why I'm saying I'm really interested in what he has to say. Usually I'm not. So my kind of final word on this, my little summary is, this is definitely a thumbs up again from me. This is something I really enjoyed, but I don't know if I'm completely sold on. Kind of put on my makeshift ratings. I would definitely say that BJM, obviously going to be my buy album of the week. Earlier on, on my first listen, this was going to be my buy album of the week. But now where I stand, this is more my kind of download / recommend album of the week. I definitely want to listen to it further. And I would definitely revisit this album, because I want to see how my opinions on it change and evolve. And, you know, who knows? I might hate this album in a week. I might actually love it more. But, like I said, where I stand right now, this is a recommend. But BGM definitely is the winner of the week for me. So, I think with that being said, Tom, go ahead and hit me with your thoughts on the newest Beach House.
A lot of the things you said I can agree with. The track that I think really brought me into this, though, is track number 2, Silver Soul. It has this, like, sort of underlying synth sound throughout that's sort of like, it's like they slowed it down. Mm-hmm. And her voice on that really, like, it just works perfectly. That's one thing I like about her voice, LeGrand's voice. I think they've got this dream pop sound down with their playing, I mean, which is amazing because it's just the two of them. That's the one thing I'd like to point out is that it's just a duo.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I can totally just give more props to because there's a lot of bands out there that do the same sound or do other things and it's like they do it's their sound is a lot less on this album. I think for me this is definitely their high water mark is because on Beach House and on Devotion there is this dream pop sound, but I think on Teen Dream they've honed that sound and gone sort of out of their comfort zone. I mean, like, there's, you know, they're still in the dream pop, you know, category and stuff, but they, I think they play around with more, you know, sounds. I like Silver Soul, I really dig because it has that sort of off-putting sort of synth sound in the background and with Norway as well. And the other thing, they have gotten down the catchy beats. Mm-hmm. I think Zebra starts it off, and I know from the first time I listened to Zebra, it's her voice and the beat. It's something you can't get out of your head, and that's always for me a sign of they're doing something right. If you can't get it out of your head, they're definitely doing something right in the pop categories. You know. I think this is probably for me as well. Like Tim said, there was times where I really enjoyed it, and then there was times where I was like, you know, I've heard this done before, and they've done that, you know. But I think at the end, there's more here that I enjoy than I can really put down. You know, as a duo, they've done a lot on here. I think they've progressed their sound from their last two albums. The first time I listened to this was like, wow, this is a really good album. And I think after successive listens, I think that's toned down a little. But I think this is definitely for this week for me is my pick. And the reason is, I think it's, I enjoyed this type of music a lot more than I enjoy like a neo psychedelic or shoegaze type sound, or even a industrial sound that the Brian Jonestown Massacres does on Who Killed Sergeant Pepper. On this is something I can sit down with, put the headphones on, and enjoy. And not have to sort of guess what, you know, they're going to do next. And some people would, you know, wouldn't like that because, you know, they like that, you know, like with Sgt. Pepper, there's like, you know, so much going on. And like we said, there's an underlying theme, but it's actually a fairly crazy album. I think this is something a lot more subdued, something I can recommend to anybody, and I think they could find an element on here that they enjoy, be it her voice, play, you know, the music on this album. And as far as I can tell, it's gotten fairly good reviews along the line. I think Metacritic has got a 65 user rating, so fairly good. Which sort of goes along with what happened with their last two albums. They seem to have found a sound that works for them and works for their audience. I think Teen Dream continues that. I think this is an album, unlike Sgt. Pepper, that I will continue to listen to. May change as I go along. Both of us, listen to albums, and then something happens along the way, and either we continue to like it or like it more, or find that we don't like it as much. So I'd like to see how this continues along in the year. They believe they're on tour right now. They're going to be here in Chicago on the 2nd of April. So I'm hopefully going to be able to go to that show. If Tim is available, maybe he can go as well. There's not much more I have to say. This is my this is my bi album of the week. You heard Tim's bi album, which is Who Killed Sgt. Pepper. To just move on, I think I'd let you know my pick. Tim already let you guys know what his pick for next week is, but I'll let him tell you what that is in a second again. Mine is Moon Duo, and it's their new album called Escape. It just came out last month, so looking forward to listening to that. I've given a little listen, enjoyed what I've heard so far. I'd like to see what Tim thinks of it. And Tim, yours is the new one from
Black Realm Motorcycle Club. We'll just call them BRMC. And it's the new album called Beat the Devil's Tattoo, which is to be released this week. And looking forward to it. Again, another group that just spawned off of BJM, so BRMC is going to... Wow. BRMC, looking forward to that. We've been a huge fan of theirs for a few years now. And, in fact, just saw they have a live... they have a live... live DVD / live extra DVD / live CD, which you can pick up at most record stores / Best Buys. I don't think it was price bad either. I can't remember how much I paid for it, but definitely worth the money. I think the live video footage, which actually, it was shot pretty cool in black and white and very, very cool rockers. What can I say? It's got some behind the scene footage of not only that concert, but also some various recordings, including some stuff off their Howl release, which an album I absolutely love. So anyway, we'll talk more about that next week. But yeah, Be the Devil's Tattoo, check that out. Like I said, that title track is actually on the SXSW South by Southwest torrent. So find that torrent, download it. It's free, legal, nothing the ISP can do to you.
Anyhow, just not much more to say. Go enjoy some live music. I will look forward to doing that in the coming weeks. So anyhow, Tim, any closing thoughts?
God bless and take care.
Later, everyone.
it true. Sing it in the morning, sing it in the day, sing it